began a new sub-series teaching on grace. And if you recall, just a little review, if you will, I said that I spent the last 6 months teaching on grace. And what I've been bringing are various doctrines of truth concerning grace. And they are the building materials that you need to have if you're going to understand grace. And so now what I'm wanting to accomplish is to take those building materials and build a house, build a spiritual house with it, or instruct you and me how to build a spiritual house. Because otherwise, you know, what do you do with those truths? You have all these truths, and it's like, well, okay, those are good, those are powerful, but what do you do with them? How do you use them? How do you get those things operative in your life? And that's the point of this teaching. Last week, I also mentioned that there are various parts to the language of heaven around this area of grace, and you really need to understand this so that you don't get lost. How many are you with me right now? I'm not feeling like everyone's with me. Let us pray. Father God, we do lift up this time and ask your blessing on this teaching time. I ask, Father, that you would clear all of our minds, the schedules in our minds, anything else we've got going, and just give us a learning heart right now. We can take care of everything else when we leave, but right now we're here. Give us a learning heart, a clear mind to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Father, we pray your blessing on this teaching right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, everybody take a deep breath.
We just did a lot of announcements.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
Okay. So, we've got some building materials. I want to take the next few weeks and help bring some instruction as to how to use those building materials and make them operative in your life. All right? In the teaching, I'm going to lay a little groundwork here. I started it last week or 2 weeks ago. You need to understand some of the language because otherwise you can get a little lost, like, man, you're kind of moving around. I'm not real sure what you're talking about. First you're talking about faith. Now you're talking about grace. And then you're talking about the Spirit. Are we talking about grace and how to use grace? Or are we talking about the Spirit and how it operates in your life? Or are we talking about how to operate by faith? They're all the same. They're not the same, but they all work together. Okay? And that's what I was reminding you of last week. If you recall, I talked about how we had those people lined up here and how there's different things in the lineup, but they all work together. By the way, I really want to get that straight. Hey, Kate, you were the first person in this line, right?
Yeah.
You were what? Were you joy?
Thankful.
Thankfulness.
Right.
So then what was I?
The person.
I know, but that's why I was wondering. I was like, there should be five. So I was just...
I was just
a person, and I turned and I become thankful, and she was thankful. That's why there was that missing piece. I'm like, wait a minute, if I'm thankful, we're missing a piece here. Okay, so you have thankful, she was thankfulness, and then the gentleman that was next to you, which was someone's father here, right?
Aaron's father.
He was joy.
Yeah.
And then there was hope, and then faith, and then grace.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I just needed that straightened out in my own head. Okay, so as you know, there are all these things that you have to operate together. And the Bible will say that thankfulness will bring grace in your life. And then another verse will tell you that it's through faith that you receive grace. And you say, well, I thought it was thankfulness that brought grace. Well, it is. It's just that every verse in the Bible does not tell you the whole story. Right? God doesn't explain everything in every verse. But each verse is a truth. And it takes meditation, study, time in the Word, and you begin to put it together. Just like every piece of a puzzle does not give you the whole picture. But you get more and more pieces, you start to put it together, and you form a picture. And that's what scriptures are. Scriptures are pieces of the puzzle. And then you take several scriptures that say the same thing about thankfulness, and you begin to understand the position of thankfulness as it relates to joy. Based on, you know, several scriptures. And then other scriptures will tell you the juxtapose position of joy to hope, and then hope to faith, etc. So you begin, you understand these things. What I'm going to be talking about is going to involve oftentimes these three words: grace, spirit, and faith. And what I want you to understand is that they all are working together. Here's the phrase you need to know. Let me just show you one here. Did I already have? No. I got to find it because I'm out of order of what I wanted to teach. Well, let me just do it in order. And we'll get to that. But the phrase is this: it's by grace, by the Spirit, through faith. That's how grace operates in our life. It's by grace. Grace is the one. Grace is the power. It's God's power, God's ability operating in our behalf. It's what we need to walk out the Christian walk. How many of you know the Christian walk is not difficult? It is impossible. It is. It's completely impossible. What God has called us to: be holy, for I am holy. Right? We're to walk free of sin. That includes thoughts that are sinful. We're to be free of that. That's not difficult. What'd you say? Submission? Sense of omission. Yes. Okay. Yes. It's not difficult. It's not even extremely difficult. It's absolutely, completely, and totally impossible without the grace of God. But with the grace of God, it is completely doable. So we must understand how to operate by the grace of God if you intend to have a victorious walk with God. You've got to get this. So what I'm going to be teaching now is how to operate by the grace of God. All right? It's by the grace of God that we can do these things. By the Spirit. The Spirit is the agent, if you will, the conduit, the person of the Godhead that causes grace to operate in our life. But it is faith that receives this activity of the Holy Spirit operating in our life. Otherwise, if it was just the Spirit doing it, everyone would be operating in it perfectly, because the Spirit is perfect and he'll just move. But he is actually limited by us believing, having faith. You were saved, right? Were you saved because you put in such great effort, you did some work, you did something to earn that salvation? Did you work to get your salvation? Did you earn your salvation? I'm not sure how I want to put it, but no. You were saved by God because you believed. Somehow, some way, whether it was a television program you were watching, a friend that talked to you, your parents, whatever, somebody spoke the word of God to you. Someone talked to you about Jesus, and you said, you know what, that's what I need. You believed. Something happened that caused you to believe. As a result of your belief, God's grace moved in your behalf and caused a miracle to happen in you called the new birth. But how many of you know that it was the Spirit of God who moved upon you to cause that miracle to happen? In the beginning, in Genesis, you see it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, the earth was void and without form. And then it says, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the earth. Right? The Spirit of the Lord is hovering. Then God spoke, and those miracles took place. It was the Spirit of God who caused every one of those things to happen. God spoke the word, but it tells us in that third verse that the Spirit of God was present to make it happen. But nothing was happening until faith was released. And faith was released through the words of God. Then the Spirit moved, and the power of God caused it to happen. So these all work together. One verse that kind of ties it together, at least the faith and the grace part, is what I was saying. You were saved. Ephesians 2:8 says this, that you and I were sozoed. That's the Greek word. You were sozoed. That word sozoed is to be delivered. It's divine protection. It's divine provision. It's the principal meaning of the word is deliverance of all kinds. So it brings healing. Why? It's deliverance from dis-ease. It's deliverance from sickness. You had a dead spirit on the inside of you. It's deliverance from that bondage that you were in under the power of the enemy. He delivered you. He sozoed you. The word most commonly used for that is saved. But don't limit the word sozo to just being born again. That's not what it's limited to. That's just one of the many deliverances sozo brings. So that principle in Ephesians 2:8, a very powerful principle, is something you need to know for this entire teaching, because this is a powerful principle. Again, I'm getting out of order here. Derek has showed this to me so many times, you'd think I'd have it. Okay. Air server. Bam! So what is the Father's plan? Now, here's where I am, actually. I'm skipping way ahead. Boom. For by grace you have been sozoed through faith. So in this particular verse, we see two of the pieces of the puzzle put together, right? You know how puzzles have those different shapes? So you see, here's one connection. It doesn't show you the whole picture, but you see, okay, this side of, you know, those two pieces of the puzzle, the whole thing fits. You're like, all right, that's a fit. So we see that grace operates through faith. All right? Other verses tie the Spirit to grace. Other verses tie faith to the Spirit, etc. So it pulls it all together. All right, so I just want to tell you, you need to understand that a little bit about the language here. So I'm just laying some groundwork. Now, let's dive into what I want to talk about today in particular. There's an overarching plan that God has for all of us. All right? What is that plan? What is God's plan for us? Now remember, I'm taking all the building materials we've been gathering for the last 6 months, and now I'm going to pull it together now, right? So the question is, I want to give the bird's eye view to the whole thing, and then we're going to bring it down and we're going to get very specific. So what's God's plan? This is really good for you and I to know it. Do you have an answer? What is it? Excellent. Anything else? Okay. There actually is more to it, but that is a piece of it. So very good. You get an A for that. Okay. So what is God's plan for us? I'm not really asking you to answer, but I love the fact that he did. Here's God's plan. In a nutshell, reconciliation, that's the first step to his plan. The second step is transformation. And what comes from the reconciliation with God is transformation. At least this is his plan, this is his desire for us, that we would be reconciled to him. And then from that relationship now, we are transformed into his image, and then we duplicate ourselves by bringing others into that reconciled relationship with the Father. So it's reconciliation, and from that transformation, and from that duplication. Now there's actually a fourth step, but it's not necessarily... I'm really referring to the plan on the earth, but the next step is celebration. So it is reconciliation, then it is transformation, then it is duplication, culminating in a celebration of the family of God back together, walking with the Father for all of eternity. But what we will focus on is we've spent quite a bit of time on reconciliation a long time ago. What I've been talking to you about now and what we're going to continue on is this second part, and that is the transformation. So first, just a little bit about reconciliation, just one verse. The Word of God says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, all things are of God. Now, the verse before that talks about, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So he's talking about the new birth. The new birth just took place in verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now all things have become new. Then he goes into this verse. Now that you're born again, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. That's what happened in the new birth. We were reconciled to God. Reconciliation. All right? Then the next step is transformation. Transformation. A verse that describes this is in Romans 12:2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but," here's what God wants, "be transformed." So I just want you to see that this is from the Word of God. Now, what I'm going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks, I am confident that the majority of you already know this truth. The reason I'm going to be teaching on it is to take that truth that you already have and increase it and establish it into your heart, so strongly that you are encouraged, motivated to walk in it. Because it's one thing to know it in your head. It's another thing to have it in your heart and living it out. So I'm confident some of you are living it out. But no matter where you are, no matter what stage you are, I guarantee you there's room for increase. We will never reach that place if there's not room for growth. So what I'm wanting to do is take it, don't think when I tell you what we're talking about, which, by the way, the transformation happens by the renewing of your mind. And that's what I'm going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks, is renewing your mind. You may say, "Well, I already know that. Okay, yeah, I need to renew my mind. That's how you do it." I'm going to take that and I'm going to show you from the Word of God over and over and over in different verses so you see, wow, it actually really says the renewing of the mind causes this transformation. You know what I mean? I mean, I just want to drill it in so that you've got it well established in your heart so that it's not just an idea that you heard from Brad or from some other preacher or whatever. You have seen it for yourself in the Word of God over and over and over, and you become established in this fact. Our ability to walk with God, to walk in a victorious life, is not going to be accomplished by great effort on your part. It's just not going to do it. The transformation that God is looking for is a supernatural. What's the word I'm looking for? Event. I don't want to say transformation. It's a supernatural work. Yeah, process. Thank you. Who said that? Thanks for the help. Okay. That's what I was trying to say. I couldn't think of the word. It's a supernatural process. It's not a natural process. It's a supernatural process. You have to become convinced of that or you'll never step into it. You'll always be looking for the natural way to get it done. I'm going to try to convince you in the next several weeks it is a supernatural process. So quit trying to do it in a natural means. You'll never get there. You'll be constantly frustrated. You'll be forever frustrated if you don't get this. Now, there is a natural part that you and I have to play to cause this supernatural thing to happen. I have a little wall in my office, in my house, and I have, you know, I have a group of sayings that become just powerful revelations to me. I put them on that wall. And in 30 years, I only have maybe 12 sayings on this wall. I'm very, very, very particular about what I put on that wall. I don't want just a bunch of busyness. It needs to be serious. This one is probably one of the most boring sounding ones, and yet it's on my wall. Because it is not actually boring if you really understand it. It is profound. Here's what it says. The natural triggers the spiritual. That's what it says. The natural triggers the spiritual. Okay, let's look for another one. You know, that's not real exciting. No, you need to understand that, because if you don't get that, you'll be tripped up all the time. you know, trying to get all spiritual and not realizing there's a, what I'm about to talk to you about is the natural. I'm gonna prove to you from the Word of God it is a supernatural process, but I'm gonna show you the natural thing that you and I need to do to trigger that supernatural process. Okay? But it is supernatural. The transformation will not happen through you and I really trying hard to live for God. It doesn't work. You'll fail, and I will fail. All right? Okay. So transformation is a second step, and it says here, I just want you to see, here's one very powerful verse. Get this down. Know that it's there. Understand this. Do not be conformed to this world, God says, but be transformed. So you see right here, it's a call from God to be transformed. You are literally called by God to transform. He expects transformation to happen in our lives. All right, this isn't just my idea. It's right there in the Word. You're seeing it. We are to be transformed. The third stage is duplication. And the verse I want to give you on that, and there's many verses for each one of these. I'm just giving you one verse just so you can see at least there's one word, one scripture that does say it. Now, this is going back to the very same verse I started with on reconciliation. If you recall, recognize the first part of this. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. There's reconciliation, then transformation, then duplication. Well, this verse doesn't talk about the transformation in the middle of this verse, but it's all over the Bible. But it does go right from the reconciliation to duplication. Notice, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And now, look, here's what God expects from us. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that mean? What's the ministry of reconciliation? Anybody? Exactly, making disciples. Right? So I simply call that duplication. It's duplicating yourself. God says, listen, now you know about me and the transformation is happening in your life. Go tell someone about it. And bring them into relationship with me so that the reconciliation and the transformation will begin to happen in their life. God has called us to this. Now, Sia, do you have a coat? Okay, good, because you're making me cold. I was going to offer you mine is why I asked you. I was going to say, take my coat. So we are to duplicate ourselves. Now I'm going to back up and say, I just want you to see that, the big picture. Reconciliation, transformation, then duplication. What we are focusing on, we're bringing the lens in on now, is the transformation process. So getting into the transformation, here's the question, the transformation. How does it happen? How do we transform? I'm going to lay some groundwork. I already did this kind of in the interim. By grace, by the Spirit, through faith. It's by grace, by the Spirit, through faith. All right? Now, what is grace? This is just one of many definitions. Grace is God's willingness to use his power and his ability on our behalf. I said it before, it's just, you could replace the word willingness with yes. It's God saying yes to you and to me to use his power and his ability on our behalf. That's what grace is. It's just one of many definitions. Another one, it's a very important one to have, is to understand that grace is God's unmerited, undeserved, and unearned favor. It's God's favor, but don't forget the three words in between. Unmerited, unearned, and undeserved. The minute you tried to deserve it, you've stepped out from under grace. The minute you feel like, Lord, I've read the word enough, so I'm expecting, you know, things to happen. Now you're trying to earn it. It's not grace anymore. The moment you try to earn it or I try to earn it, it's no longer grace. If it's been earned at all, if it's been deserved at all, if it's been merited at all, it ceases to be grace. Grace, God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. You know what God's favor is? God's favor slings open doors everywhere. Nothing can stand against God's favor. If God puts his favor of you on somebody else, they'll give you the shirt off their back. They'll give you their house. They don't even know why they're doing it. They're just, I just have to do this. They will be compelled to bless you. That's what God's favor does. It just opens doors for you. God's favor, he says, I will surround you with favor like a shield. That's a promise from God, Psalms 5:12. He will surround you with favor as with a shield. Well, why is it not happening? Why don't I have that in my life? Listen carefully for the next couple of weeks and you'll find out. And you can begin to have the favor of God operating in your life. So this is just one definition, God's willingness to use his power and his ability on his behalf, or God saying yes. Now here's just one verse that kind of says that, that defines grace, even though you didn't realize maybe it was defining grace. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Some or at least most of the promises of God are yes. No, that's not what it says. Cursed be the person who preaches that. The Word of God says all of the promises of God are yes and amen. And you look at what the result of that is. What's the result of that? To the glory of God.
Yes.
You see that? You realize what that's saying? Through us, to the glory of God, through us. God is saying, listen, Derek, when you ask me for something, my answer is yes. And if you actually believe that and will receive it, my power will be released near your behalf. That thing, that miracle you're looking for will happen, and it will cause people to see you, and they'll see God working in your life, and it will bring glory to my name. Because I lift you up, and I cause great things to happen in your life, and you will give me praise for it. Others will say, God, the God that he serves, I want to serve a God like that. It gives glory to my name through you because you believed me. You let me operate in your life, so through you, I receive glory.
Amen.
God gets glorified. We bless God by believing him.
Wow.
We bless God by letting him bless us. But when we let God bless us, we bless him. When we do not believe God in his promises, we literally, we cut off a blessing that God had, that he deserves. We limit the glory that God should be receiving because of our unbelief. It says it this way in John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. We can't switch back and forth on that screen, came up. So let me just read it. John 15, verse 7 and 8 says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, look what will happen. He says, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What's that describing? A miracle, a supernatural working of God, or the grace of God flowing in your life. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now look what the result of that is. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So do you realize by not letting God do great things in your life, you're robbing God of glory? You want to honor God? You want to bless God? You want to please God? Let him bless you.
Amen.
That's what pleases him. I mean, you may think, wow, that's kind of crazy, man. I mean, it's incredible, but is that real? It's really not that hard to get. Think about you as a parent and you have a child. Are you blessed when your child lets you bless them? When your child lets you love them? Are you blessed by that? Are you blessed when your child refuses anything you want to do for them? You want to bless your child and they say, no, 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 no. Are you blessed by that? Do you get joy and, wow, that's cool. I didn't have to.
They
don't even need me. That's great. No, it blesses you as a parent to be able to bless your child. And God is our Father, our Heavenly Father, without any skewed thing in His personality that you and I have. He doesn't have any of it. It's all good. God is agathos.
Amen.
He is agathos. That is a Greek word that means intrinsically good with a propensity, an overwhelming desire to do good. It's not just is good. It's a combined word that says is good and does good. Is good and does good. Does good and is good. Does good and is good. If it's just good, that's not agathos. Agathos does good. If it just does good, that's not agathos. Agathos is good and does good. God is agathos. Jesus said to the rich young ruler who came to him, Lord, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me agathos? There's only one who's agathos, and that's God. So either call me God or just drop the good and let's just stick with the teacher. Which is it? He called him out on his trying to act all holy and everything. He says, call me God or just call me teacher. And the man said, teacher, and continued. He wouldn't go there. But Jesus, I love what Jesus said. There's only one who's agathos. Our God is agathos. He is good, good, good. Stop looking for the bad in Him. It doesn't exist. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It doesn't exist. He is love.
Wow.
He doesn't have love. We have love. He is love.
Good.
He is the light of men. He is the life of men. He's light. He's life. He's good. He's love. He's holy. He's perfect. This is our God. And He wants. So is it so crazy to think He actually wants to bless you? And by us receiving His blessing, by believing Him for and say, I believe you, God. I'm not going to back off of this. Do it. Just bless me. And then He blesses you that He receives glory, which means pleasure. Really, in that text, what He's saying is, I receive pleasure. I also have the blessing of other people seeing my goodness in your life, which will cause them to come to me. Because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We're stopping other people from getting saved by not receiving God's goodness into our life. That's real. We stop many people from coming to God when we are not receiving His goodness into our life, because we're trying to be holy and sanctified, and you know, I'm not asking you, whatever. I'm just enough to take care of this or whatever, no more than that, you know, and we think we're being holy. Now, you know, I'm not preaching materialism and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying God's goodness doesn't produce materialism. It doesn't produce greed. It doesn't produce covetousness. It doesn't produce any of that stuff. It produces gratefulness. It produces falling on your face, doing a face plant, and worshiping God. That's what it produces. It produces nothing but good. So just let God bless you. All right. So that was my introduction, and we'll continue it next week, because we've done run out of time, because we just had a beautiful, sweet time in His presence today. Woo! Wasn't that good? Oh, that was sweet. I didn't want to leave it. So we are going to be talking about grace and how to walk by it, how to walk in it, how to have our lives transformed. And that process is going to take place through the renewing of the mind. And I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture that says that's the only way it's going to happen. Now, the work that we need to do is the renewing of our mind. If we don't renew our mind, it ain't going to happen. So, now we've all had our mind renewed to a degree, but there's a lot more that's available to us. Now, we're going to minister to those who would like ministry.
You want to pray with the word from today?
Why don't you do it?
This is good, isn't it? I felt like a while ago the Lord, I felt like the Lord put on my heart one day. I was thinking, I'm like, man, we need brainwashed.
Exactly. We so do.
Exactly it.
So
that's just scriptural. We need brainwashed.
We're all brainwashed in some way.
That's I love that. John Wimber used to say, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Man, oh. Yeah, yep. Heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, washed with the pure water of the word. Lord, we pray a sealing over this word from Brad. Thank you, Lord. Word from you. Lord, we thank you, Father. Man, this is good. This is so good. I thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity to learn. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray a supernatural sealing of this word. I pray, Father, that these seeds would start growing right now. I thank you, Father, that sometimes there's a greenhouse where you can start seeds earlier, way before May 15th, and we start them right now, Father. We pray an activation of those seeds. We thank you, Father, that they are in a climate where they are going to germinate and grow. And I thank you, Father, that you would even protect those seeds and sow them deep into the hearts of each person who's heard this word. Thank you, Lord. And one of the things, just a quick encouragement, one of the things that, you know what Brad was saying, these 12 things that he has on his board, this natural activates the spiritual. Is that the phrase, Brad? Natural activates the spiritual, triggers the spiritual. This is a major fruit that I've, knowing Brad well, this is a major fruit that I see on his life. He's able to walk in the supernatural power of God. He's able to walk in all those things. And he understands that he has a very practical role to play in those things. So I just want to encourage us in this series, a good way to get, if you wanted to get clean, you'd take a shower. And if you wanted to get brainwashed, you'd read the word. You know what I mean? Or listen to the message again online. And those sorts of, they're just practical things. It's sort of like for sometimes for me, it's like I need to not necessarily quit my hoping, but start doing something, you know? So it's like keep hoping and start doing, you know? And it's just powerful. It just activates what God's wanting to do by us just taking a step. It's like Peter stepped out on the water and boom, it's miracle starts happening. He's not sinking. You know what I mean? But you got to step out before the miracle starts happening. Okay, well, I know that Renee's going to come up and pray with me and anybody else who wants prayer. So we're going to have a little prayer team up here. We're going to start doing this consistently. If you need prayer for anything, if there's an area of your life where you're just acutely aware this week, man, I don't got traction. If your knee hurts and you need to ball it up on Brad next week and get it healed ahead of time, I'll pray for you. If you've got a sore back, if you've had a cold, if you have the flu, if there's some family issues going on that are pretty difficult, anything like that, if you need prayer, we're going to have a prayer team up here, and I don't want you to leave without getting prayer. We want to bless you, okay? The Lord wants to bless you, guaranteed. If you come up here and say, I'm sick, we are not going to tell you, well, Lord, if it's your will to heal them, we're going to say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. Take up your mat and walk, you know? So God's good. He wants to, this is, you know, that his power is going to come. The words proclaimed about his goodness, now let's see it. Do you see what I'm saying? So if you have an area where you need to see more of his goodness, come on up and get some prayer.